not beyond my sight. Hope for a generation. Yeah, yeah. Hope for a generation. Just beyond my reach, not beyond my sight.
Something so true is what I get from you.
Friends, countrymen, fellow slaves of the plantation, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So get ready to laugh, get ready to listen, and be prepared to learn. Because although your enslavement is serious business, it doesn't mean you have to take it seriously. Here's your host, the indubitable Vinnie Eastwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for your listening dissatisfaction. And I'm talking to those people who are just like,
you know, there's things outside of my awareness spectrum that I just don't want to know, all right? I just don't want to know things that are outside of my current awareness spectrum. Learning new things is just horrible. Okay, it's horrible. You should stop broadcasting, Vinnie. You should stop it.
You know, just
forget. Oh, my God.
Has anybody noticed that although Vimeo is kind of like a place that has a lot less following than YouTube or whatever, they don't have censorship and they don't have comment boards that are
clogged to the brim with retardation
and aggression and just lies and scumbaggery and supposition and just psychopathic narcissism that just the mind reels. And ladies and gentlemen, for goodness sake, let's just bring it down to a calm, adjusted frequency. Something that's nice. Something that's friendly. Something akin to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Donate at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com or the Rothschilds will get you. My very special guest is Carlos Kookaburra from The Template. Carlos, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Ben. It's nice to be on.
Quite a pleasure to have you, brother. Could you tell us a little bit about The Template, yourself, and what it is you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. So my name is Carlos, and I'm an ambassador for this body of work that's known as The Template. So I thought that what I'd do today, Ben, if it's okay with you, is just give you a history and a function of The Template ceremonies, like a little mini workshop presentation to give you and your audience a framework for understanding what it is that The Template is presenting in these alchemically coded ceremonies that transform individual and collective human consciousness. So, you know, some of the things that we're going to be covering are, you know, all the topics that you generally cover with your the people that you interview, you know, the level of the global conspiracy, human consciousness enslavement, the Anunnaki gods, sacred geometry, deprogramming consciousness, and really focusing on the solutions. You know, there's a lot of amazing presenters, you know, that I see on the likes of your radio show and others that are just doing this fantastic job of presenting the level of the problem, the conspiracy, and connecting all the dots and really highlighting how big this problem is, how major it is, you know, but very few of them actually have solutions to offer. And that's where The Template differs, is that we identify these problems, but then we implement solutions that affect the fulcrum point of human consciousness. And so I'll be explaining those ceremonies. We have a couple of them that are currently have been translated onto film that people can experience by going to our YouTube channel. So, you know, firstly, the problem, you know, your audience is already going to be fairly up to date with, you know, the knowledge that we're slaves, basically, and that we're a slave species that have been modified by the ancient gods of this planet that in the Sumerian texts are known as the Anunnaki. And, you know, this is really a topic that often gets swept under the carpet. A lot of truth seekers and conspiracy researchers and whatnot can get to a fair depth down the rabbit hole. But for many, when they get to the topic of the interdimensional, extraterrestrial interference, it gets a bit too much, and it just has to be swept under the carpet until they've done enough research to really, to grok and understand that. Mm. But yeah,
like like the alleged alien help that the Nazis have, you know, and people thought the Nazis were just Sumerians, you know, but apparently they were helped out by the Sumerians too, Barry.
Yeah, well, quite possibly. You know, the Matrix movie, in it Morpheus says to Neo that you really have to understand that, like everybody else, you're born into bondage and that you're a slave. And it's not until we become completely disillusioned and pushed outside our safety and comfort zones that we start to wake up to this level of the conspiracy. And it's really not, as you know, Vin, it's not an easy process. If it was easy to wake up, then everybody would be doing it. But the level
you use the word disillusion, like the illusion coming down, right? And exactly. I was talking to one of my listeners one time, and he said, you know, Vinny, this one person I know, they said that my problem is you're just disillusioned. And so my problem is I'm no longer living under the same delusion as you. That's your problem with me, right? Right?
Completely. And it is. It's a massive illusion, you know. And people, you know, when they have a look behind the veil, you know, you start to see the toenails of the dragon, so to speak. You know, what's who and what is really manipulating things from behind what we see as just the puppets, the politicians and the priests and, you know, the authority figures on this planet. They're just puppets for this other consciousness. So, you know, we could look at all of the myriad ways of subjugating and enslaving humanity and how that's been done for eons throughout history through, you know, political regimes or, you know, more modern day forms of mind control through chemicals sprayed in chemtrails or vaccinations or electromagnetic frequency control, transhumanist eugenics programs, the education system, entertainment propaganda, you know, this problem, reaction, solution, events that are created just to perpetuate this endless history of bloodshed and warfare and, you know, sexual manipulation, subservience to the gods. And they're all designed to destabilize the body computer. You know, they're all designed to disturb and interrupt human consciousness. You know, it's really a war on consciousness. But all of those things, you know, and again, we could talk about them for days on end. They're all symptoms of a far deeper malignancy. And when you track that back, when you look through history, you're going to come to understand that the symptoms are coming from the genetic modification of our species and the electromagnetic disconnection from what we refer to as the divine immortal blueprint, the original true matrix prior to the introduction of this synthetic mutant realm that we're currently living in. And how this has come about is by a race of beings that masquerade as the gods throughout written texts of religions and mythologies. And this pantheon of gods go by various names throughout different cultures around the planet. But essentially, you know, we refer to them through the Sumerian terminology as the Anunnaki, or those who from heaven came to earth. So it's you know, we're collectively, humanity's in a form of Stockholm syndrome, and religion has been used for thousands of years to keep us subservient and obedient to these gods. And what we're dealing with as a result is just endless forms of programming of human consciousness. And so what the template is doing is that it is it's deprogramming human consciousness by realigning us with the original matrix, again prior to this synthetic matrix that has been constructed. realigning us with our own sovereignty and autonomy and responsibility so that we don't have to endlessly externalize that and, you know, put our power in governments and lawyers and doctors and whatnot, you know, all a form of creating this power placebo outside of ourselves. So, the ceremonies, they're an alchemical process that engage you on all levels. They engage your consciousness. They use sacred geometry as a core component within these ceremonies. And there's a simultaneous deprogramming and reprogramming of consciousness. And what it does is that it brings people out of denial. You know, I heard you the other day in your discussion with David Icke talking about the process of grief, you know, the symptoms of grief that as we, you know, if we have some sort of crisis in our life, be it, you know, the death of a loved one or a health crisis or, you know, something of that nature, you know, we go through this process of grieving and coming out of denial and becoming disillusioned, you know, and that's challenging. It's a challenging process. What happens as a result of people experiencing these ceremonies is that as they begin to become deprogrammed, it puts them through this process of, again, moving out of denial and going through a process of grieving and understanding the endless lies that we have been accustomed to on this planet. So the ceremonies, they affect the fountainhead of our consciousness, you know, because we can, again, look at all of these, the level of the problem, and they're just symptoms of this deeper malignancy, the genetic modification. And trying, as, you know, Einstein and others have said, that trying to change the problem from the same level that created it in the first place, you're just not going to be able to do it. You know, you have to transcend the level of the problem. So we often use the analogy of a fountain for describing the fountainhead of our consciousness, that if you walk up to a fountain and you splash your hands through it, you're going to temporarily change that pattern, but only temporarily, because it's designed to unfold in a specific way. And so doing things, you know, as fantastic as thinking greener and recycling and doing yoga and, you know, being health conscious and the rest of it are, they're not really going to change the paradigm, because it has been disturbed at that fulcrum point, at the fountainhead of our consciousness. So
unless my wife came up with a really great example of that is, you know, sometimes vegans or fruitarians or whatever, in specific, they were eating fruit all year round, right, in order to save the planet. However, they weren't eating seasonal fruit. They were eating fruit that had been shipped all the way around the planet with all with all that pollution in order to get it to their mouth. So what are you doing? You're not thinking it through. And I think this is the entirety of the problem here. With all of humanity, is it doesn't matter how great an idea that we have, we're not able to think it through and make it come full circle. And that's the only kind of idea that'll actually change something, an idea that feeds into itself and perpetuates itself, not one that simply fends off some one thing that it sees in front of it and ignores the entirety of the problem. This is why I get frustrated when people say, Vinny, stop talking about the problems, tell us the solutions. If I just told you the solutions without you understanding the problem and why the solution works for it, you wouldn't be able to implement it and make it work.
Very, very well put. You know, we always highlight that unless you understand the core and the depths of the problem, then you won't even think to consider why you would want to implement a solution. But where the solution has to come from is from the fountainhead of our consciousness. So what these ceremonies are doing is they are affecting that fountainhead. And, you know, just then as you're describing it and the body language that you're using, you know, I because I work with sacred geometry all the time, I'm thinking in terms of geometric structures, and it's very much this toroidal field that you're explaining, you know, and the or gesturing, which is holistic, because we think dualistically. You know, that's the problem, is that our consciousness has been modified and downgraded, and we're caught in a very dualistic frequency zone where people's consciousness is in conflict, and therefore the matrix that we are experiencing is a mirror of the corruption of our genetics and the downgrade of our consciousness. So what the template is identifying is that consciousness has a chemical counterpart. It has a chemistry to it, and that chemistry, our general state of consciousness, the chemistry that supports that is produced by the endocrine system, the glands of the body. So, you know, in those glands in the brain, you have your pineal gland, often referred to as the third eye, the master gland within this system that's responsible for the production of serotonin, melatonin, and the psychoactive dimethyltryptamine. You have your hypothalamus, pituitary, your thyroid, thymus, your adrenals, gonads. All of those glands are producing a chemistry. Now, you can change that chemistry based on, you know, many factors. It might be the various chemicals that you're exposed to on a daily basis, you know, the petrochemicals that you breathe in when you walk out on the street, or that are in your homes that you're exposed to each day, or the foods, you know, if you've had chemical sprayed on your food. And that's all.
And the term chemical itself, it's like people don't really understand what that means. It merely means a substance that's capable of disrupting electromagnetism, more or less, because everything in the universe is built out of electromagnetism. Our bodies, our endocrine systems, and all of that is just electron flow going around. And these chemicals disrupt it or affect it in a very strong way. That's why we call them chemicals instead of a rock.
Yes. And, you know, on that subject, the endocrine glands are responsible for decoding electromagnetism, the frequencies of electricity and magnetism, the what we see as light that is emanating from the portal that we see as our sun is actually code. It's information. And that information should be received through this circuitry system, which is the primary function of the template ceremonies, is to reestablish this circuitry system, which is the delivery system for electromagnetics into our bodies, which affects the endocrine system, the glands of the body. Through this accelerated electromagnetic input, it then decodes that and feeds that code through the central nervous system into all DNA in every cell of the body. So when the endocrine system is reanimated and re-stimulated, it's changing the state of our consciousness, again, from the fulcrum point, from the fountainhead from which our consciousness is emerging. So anybody that has taken a psychedelic substance, for instance, will understand how chemistry plays a role in consciousness. That, again, everything that you're exposed to, whether it be the petrochemicals or the foods that you eat or whatnot, is affecting your consciousness to some degree or another. But in its extreme, when you take a psychedelic compound, the likes of LSD or dimethyltryptamine, you know, which is very popular due to the ayahuasca, being very popular on the planet at the moment.
Even in the kids show like Sesame Street, they had ayahuasca, the grouch stop in.
Okay, I didn't see that. I'll have to check it out.
That's because it doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, for those who have ingested these compounds, you very quickly find out how they affect your consciousness, you know, because within 45 minutes to an hour, you're extremely affected by that, you know, The psychedelic experience with the template, we often refer to it to explain how when you ingest these psychedelic compounds, they're changing this usual ratio of neurochemistry primarily produced between the hypothalamus, pituitary and pineal complex in the brain. And as a result, your brainwave frequencies are altered and you start to tune into these alternate frequency bands that usually aren't accessible to us. So, and oftentimes you'll experience a much more holistic state of consciousness as a result, and start to see the interconnectedness of everything. And partly, you know, people that often come to ceremonies is because they've had that type of experience on a psychedelic. They've seen this geometric fractal construct that all of creation is built upon, the infrastructure. And then they see the geometry that's used in the template ceremonies and they want to know more about it. And in a way, what the template is doing is reverse engineering the psychedelic experience. But really, that psychedelic experience is our natural state of consciousness prior to the manipulation and the modification of the human genetics and human consciousness. We were existing in a much more integrated, holistic state. So
I was thinking about this just before, actually. If you could see wavelengths, if you could see electromagnetism and how it's all through the air and it's all through every being and organism that you can see around you, everything's connected to it and it's all one, but it's all part of each other and it's all individual. It's subjective and it's objective at the same time. Everything is everything and everything is nothing simultaneously, right? Now, it means that if you change one thing, something else will be affected. It's cause and effect, essentially. If you stop caring about, say, other animals and you start being cruel to them, nature will get out of balance. If you start, just like in a conversation, if you start being hostile to someone in a conversation, they'll start to react hostile towards you, generally speaking, right? And I think that it's about seeing that. If you could actually see it, if you could see how we're all connected, that's what people are really, really looking for. Because I think today the biggest problem with society, especially with people who are waking up to the truth, is loneliness.
Oh, most definitely. Because, you know, it's all about relationship, Vinny. Relationship to one another, to the planet, to the cosmos. The beauty of working with sacred geometry is that it exposes the underlying relationship of all creation. It exposes the unification of masculine and feminine. Now, geometrically, we express those two forms as Platonic and Archimedean geometries. Now, Platonic geometries are masculine, they're electric, and they're activating, and the feminine counterpart is known as the Archimedean geometries, which are magnetic and integrating. So when you unify those within an alchemical ceremony and then embody them through that ceremony, then your experience of the interconnectedness and the symbiotic relationship that you have to all life, the holography of consciousness, becomes much more profound, and you have again the experiential aspect of that. So some of your listeners, no doubt, will have explored this territory that we're talking about in terms of the Anunnaki, often referred to the Archons or the Overlords, that are known by various names throughout different cultures. The work of Zachariah Sitchin was some of the earlier work in decoding the Sumerian texts and identifying that the biblical references to the genesis of human origins, the Adam and Eve story, was actually a very short, abbreviated, misleading version of a much fuller rendition of humanity's origins, which were stemming from the Sumerian culture, which was several thousand years earlier. And they described this race of beings who came to the earth initially mining for gold and other minerals, and that after a long history of this gold mining operation, that their worker force had a rebellion, and the two brothers, Enki and Enlil, who were basically the leaders of this royal family and running the mining operations on the planet, came up with this plan to create a chimera or a hybrid to do their bidding, to do their work. So many of the stories that people are currently being introduced to, because people have become disillusioned with the religious ideas of the creationist stories of humanity's origins, or the Darwinian evolution theories, which are equally as flawed when you start to deprogram yourself from that idea that we've evolved from apes, you start to be led down this next path, which identifies that some of the missing elements in the Darwinian theory may have come from the modification of an indigenous hairy barbarian ape-like Neanderthal being that had its genetics merged with this Anunnaki race.
So are you saying that humanity was created from Republicans?
It's probably getting closer to the truth.
Oh, maybe that was just a bit below the belt. Anyway, continue.
So, you know, this story is getting, again, it's getting closer to the truth, but it's not the full truth because it's identifying these beings, the Anunnaki, as our benefactors, as our gods, the forefathers. And we were actually here prior to their invasion. They did not come here and create the human blueprint. They came here and downgraded it and have used us as a slave race ever since. And these genetic modifications are ongoing. We're seeing them, you know, nowadays as eugenics programs. You know, it's only been relatively recently, the last few decades, that we have understood, and it's been in the human spotlight, the understanding of the human genome. But this was understood a long time ago. So we're currently, you know, it was only, you know, 40 years ago where people had no idea really about human cloning or IVF programs or whatnot. But the Anunnaki were doing this thousands of years ago to us. So prior to their invasion here, humanity was in a completely different time-space frequency, living in a symbiotic relationship with the Earth and the solar system. We've not only experienced the modification to our genetics, but the entire frequency of the solar system has been downgraded by the Anunnaki through the modification of planets, the destruction of an entire planet that in the Sumerian text was known as Maldek, that became the asteroid belt, and the insertion of foreign bodies which act as light-modifying devices, a.k.a. the moon, which is blocking the transmissions that are emanating from the sun, which again is this evolutionary code for human evolution. So, as a result of all of these modifications to our bodies, to our solar system, we're in a deep state of trauma and disconnection from our body and disconnection from the immortal continuum that we were operating in prior to this genetic modification. So, you know, it's how, I guess I should give you an overview on how the body of work known as the template has come into being, primarily through the couple known as Juliet and Jeeva Carter, who are the architects of the template. They have a book called World Bridger, which documents, you know, the last 25 years or so of their shamanic odyssey and bringing into manifestation these ceremonies. Their journey began many years ago in Hawaii, and they had a direct encounter with these beings through an attempted abduction on the big island of Hawaii at an area known as Green Mountain. And there were a number of signs, synchronicities, omens that were leading them to walk up this mountain this particular day. And when they were walking up the mountain, they actually met a man who'd been on an early morning bike ride up the mountain. He was on his mountain bike, dressed in a Lycra bike riding outfit. And they stopped and had a little chat with him. They got to the top of the mountain, checked out the view, and decided to come back down that afternoon before it started getting too dark. Well, as they were coming back down the mountain, a man was walking up the path and basically blocked them from continuing down the mountain. And he began to tell them things about themselves that he really shouldn't have been able to know. He knew their exact names, their exact address. So he would tell them all these things, and they were somewhat confused by how he knew this, but then he would seemingly contradict himself by giving them their exact address and then asking questions like, where is Kauai? So as though he knew where they lived but had no idea where that island was. And so they were...
Having a conversation with a government employee, you know, at the DMV or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Some of them are overshadowed, aren't they? So there was a woman that came and came out from behind these bushes that was also with this man, and the two of them wanted Juliet and Jeeva to follow them somewhere, and they didn't want to go anywhere with them, but then they kind of unconsciously found themselves walking down this path following these two beings, and they were in a deep hypnotic trance. They were hearing the repetition of this voice saying, we must keep walking as we're talking, and we must keep talking as we're walking. We must keep walking as we're talking, and we must keep talking as we're walking. Now, they were being abducted, and for some period of time prior to this, Juliet had begun collaborating with a consciousness. You know, it's not something necessarily external to ourselves. It's a transcendent form of consciousness that had been bleeding through into this reality, and it began to give her another mantra to repeat, which she began to internalize and repeat in her mind, which stated, I am the light, I hold the light, and the light is with me always. And as she began to internalize this, she was then able to communicate and convey to Jeeva that she didn't want to go anywhere with these beings, and he put a stop to it. And then these beings, the holographic technology that they were using began to break down. Now, they were seeing these beings as humans. In fact, the man was dressed in the same outfit as the mountain bike rider that they'd met earlier that morning in this Lycra bike rider's outfit. And they were using some sort of technology which was able to tap into their minds and kind of feed back, create a thought loop. And so as that hologram began to break down, they began to see and hear them as they truly were. The voice that they were hearing began to break down, like Juliet describes it, like a cassette, an old cassette that had been left out in the sun too long, and you try to play it and it becomes warped. So their voices distorted, and then visually their vision began to fractally reconstruct, and they began to see these two beings as they truly were, which were these quite tall reptilian humanoid beings that were attempting to abduct them. They then made a beeline away from these beings, an alternate route off the mountain, and the next thing they know, a Black Hawk helicopter came over the top of the mountain, began to hover above them. Juliet was completely freaked out at this point, and Jeeva basically just said, look, we're two lovers out on the side of a mountain, and just embrace me. So they held each other, and what then occurred for them was that they found themselves kind of inside this spherical toroidal field of light, and everything that they were seeing from their vista on the side of the mountain, although they were still on the mountain, everything that they were seeing was illuminated with light, and as though it had some sort of internal light source that was glowing from within. And over the next couple of hours, as they came off the mountain, they were like a couple of lovers in ecstasy, laughing their heads off, debriefing with one another about what had just transpired. You know, one saying to the other, did you see those beings? And them saying, yes, yes, I saw them. And do you realize who they are? And them saying, yes, but do you realize who we really are? Now, what had occurred for them was that the shock of the encounter with these reptilian beings had actually activated a light body experience, and they had entered into this transcendental paradigm where their endocrine system had undoubtedly been endogenously activated, releasing a great amount of chemistry into the body, a little bit like the psychedelic experience where everything had become illuminated. And, you know, Juliet will describe that paradigm and say that it is really beyond the abilities of the greatest poets or visionary artists to describe the transcendent paradigm that they had entered into. Now, after a couple of hours, when they come off the mountain and returned home, they had no reference point for what they just experienced and were in a deep state of fear about these reptilian beings that had attempted to abduct them. There was no David Icke at this time, you know, speaking to, you know, 5,000 people at a time about this, the interdimensional interference by these reptilian beings. And Jeeva actually made Juliet promise never to tell anyone about this experience. And of course, by about 9 o'clock that evening, after Juliet had made a couple of phone calls, it had spread like wildfire across Hawaii that they were completely mad and thought they'd met some monster on Green Mountain. So over the following years, you know, they came to understand who exactly these beings are and the history of their involvement on this planet. And Juliet will state that as fantastic as that encounter was, you know, as horrific and as frightening as it was, that the most profound experience of that day was entering into this transcendental paradigm, having this full-blown light body activation. Now, since that time, over the last 25 years or so, pretty much everything that they have done has been to reverse engineer that experience, because that paradigm that they had entered into was the original paradigm that humanity existed in prior to the genetic modification. So over the last 25 years or however long it's been, they have been through a series of initiations to understand that they were, you know, had incarnated here on this mission to resurrect the human light body, to bring into manifestation these alchemical ceremonies that were going to be incorporating sacred geometry as a key component of that.
Now, we talk about genetic modification happening in ancient times, right? And I get that. It does explain a few things about the genetic code. However, I looked at selective breeding programs with animals and things like that, like an Arctic fox that got domesticated, and within two generations, it's completely unrecognizable. It's a totally different animal. And I remember that there's many stories about how the angels like to breed with the sons of Adam and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, what if the human race wasn't genetically engineered? What if we were bred? What if we were interbred with these taller beings that ruled the earth or whatever, and became way less intelligent than them, way smaller, and had only half of the genetic gifts and things that their parents did, maybe?
Yeah, that's certainly a factor. You know, there's a long history of ongoing genetic modification and interbreeding. So, you know, in the Bible, they refer to them as the Nephilim or the fallen angels, the Watchers, and they were this race of beings that, you know, found these the daughters of man attractive and interbred with them. I think that the Elohim, I think, is the term for the more pure Anunnaki, and then when they interbred with humanity, they were called the Nephilim, and they were this giant, you know, a much larger race of giants. So yes, all of those things have occurred. However, they have modified us to keep us dumbed down and keep us enslaved.
That was the other thing that I wanted to mention, because there's breeding to be had that can produce certain effects. However, the other effects, I'd say, in terms of the human mind and how it's been suppressed, etc., we can't see so much of the visible light spectrum. There's a big portion of our brain that doesn't get used. There's billions of base pairs in our DNA chain that don't get used at all. It's like, there's also even a patch in the brain that is empty and inactive, that when microchips have been inserted into it, the brain has actually learned and incorporated the microchip. So I'm thinking mind control is important a factor to the creation of a being, as it's genetics to a large degree. You know, the genetics gives you your base template, and the mind control gives you the rest of the encoding, etc. And if you think about mind control programs, it's mostly sleep deprivation, submission to a central authority figure, groupthink, etc. And if you look at the history of civilized society, that's the entirety of it.
Yeah, all really great points, Vinny. You know, when you look at science identifying that of 3 billion base pair chemicals that make our genetic code, we currently only use 60 million of them. And, you know, any idiot at the local trivia night can tell you that you only use something like a fifth of your brain. That's pointing directly to this genetic modification. It's fairly obvious that is what has taken place. So, you know, Juliet Roda, she's writing a newsletter at the moment, and she addressed a very good point in it, which was that, you know, if you tie a string around your finger and cut off the blood supply to that finger, it doesn't matter how many superfoods that you eat, how many chants you do to that finger, how much yoga you do to it, you know, any of these things, what's going to happen is that the finger's going to fall off because it's been disconnected from its life force. It's been disconnected from the blood that's supplying the nutrients and oxygen and whatnot to the cells of the body. And so it's going to die. That's what's going to happen. It's disconnected. What's happened with humanity is that it has been electromagnetically disconnected from this life continuum, which would otherwise sustain us in an immortal state of consciousness. Now, one of the topics, you know, amongst the many controversial topics that the template covers, that, you know, the first of them being the reptilian genetic modification, is that prior to that genetic modification, we were actually an immortal race. And part of the one of the major components of consciousness control that the gods have used is by modifying our genetics and shortening our lifespan. Now, when we look at
actually found that all cells are encoded with a self-destruct mechanism or whatever, yes. and they're now finding out that that self-destruct mechanism might be able to be turned off.
Yeah. Like,
so it means that somebody turned it on at some point.
Yeah, well, you know, science identifies that, you know, the telomeres, the caps on the ends of the chromosomes, as they shorten, or each time the cells reproduce themselves, that those telomeres shorten, and that's what basically ages us and atrophies us into death. However, back to the string analogy around the finger, that it's the disconnection electromagnetically from this continuum. You know, everything is sharing information, Vinny. The sun is feeding us with information, but it is also being fed from every other point of light within the cosmos. So again, it's this symbiotic kind of cosmic neural network that is sharing information. So because we've been disconnected from that continuum, we need to identify all of the inhibiting factors, the things that are stopping us from being resonant with that paradigm, and then resurrect the light body, resurrect this, again, this circuitry system, which is the primary delivery system for electromagnetic energy, the energetic nature of source consciousness, into our individual and collective human templates, so that we can resurrect humanity, that state of consciousness, and free ourselves from the control of these overlords and manipulators. So death has been used to control us, and the fear of death used with religions, the programs of guilt and shame that have been endlessly embedded into our consciousness to keep us subservient. That's what they use. They use this fear of death. Now, sometimes people have a some sort of experience that gives them a reference point for the infinite nature of consciousness. And that fear of death subsides to some degree. You know, they see through the dualistic illusion of it. But we're actually talking about the physical immortality, the ability to sustain our consciousness within our biological structure. Now, what we're seeing through Illuminati agendas at the moment is the through these transhumanist agendas is kind of like the ability to maintain consciousness via cloning or cybernetics programs and things. But that's not how nature does it originally. You know, it's biology and the planet and everything has this profound wisdom to it that we need to reconnect to, the knowledge that our bodies are one with the planet. So again, everything with the template ceremonies is designed to reconnect this circuitry system so that we can, the circuitry will deliver that electromagnetic nature of consciousness into our bodies.
Now, that's funny because my brother is a chiropractor, and he tells me a similar thing
when it comes to a new technique called a network spinal analysis chiropractic. It's about realigning the spine, because that's where all the energy flows from the head to the rest of the body. And if it's out of alignment, the signals can't get through properly. So you're essentially doing a chiropractic of the soul.
Yeah, yeah, very much. You know, and the soul is an interdimensional holographic geometric blueprint that is the resonant field for assimilating these light codes. It's all about resonance, Vinny, you know. When we look at sacred geometry, which I'll explain in a moment, we're looking at the shape of sound, the shape of frequency or vibration, and there's a very good study called Cymatics, which visually demonstrates that. So by using sacred geometry, we can resurrect this circuitry, resurrect fractals, which are fractions of the light body, so that we can assimilate more of this frequency and expand our consciousness. Chiropractics, in fact, Jiva initially, in his early years, he studied a form of chiropractics called Alpha Biotics, and it used kinesiology to see where there were various discrepancies with the vertebrae in the spine. You know, the spine's the most dense content of minerals in the body and acts as like an electromagnetic antenna. One of the major circuits that's connected, in fact, in the second ceremony, the ceremony of synthesis that we have just released on DVD a few weeks ago, reconnects a circuit that encapsulates the spinal column and reinstates this circuit that runs from the occipital terminus at the base of the skull to the coccyx at the very tip of the tailbone. And that assimilates these transmissions, these light code transmissions, and integrates them into the time-space coordinates of your physical incarnate body presence. So part of that Alpha Biotics was the use of kinesiology. And in fact, we use kinesiology or muscle testing within the ceremony workshops to demonstrate the integrity of these circuits. Once you have experienced the ceremonies, they will permanently reestablish these circuits into the endocrine organs of the body and reanimate that again through accelerated electromagnetic input. So it's a very simple form of kinesiology or muscle testing, but very profound for giving you biofeedback in your own being. We have workbooks and whatnot that accompany each of the ceremonies where people can see where these circuits, which organs of the body they are affecting, and if you're proficient in muscle testing can demonstrate that. You know, obviously prior to the ceremonies, if you test these circuits, they're going to be weak with the muscle testing because there's no integrity there. There's no structural integrity or the life force, the electromagnetic nature of the body isn't assimilating that. And after the ceremony, the strength comes back in the body because the circuit has been permanently reestablished. So where are we? We're talking about immortality, the fear of death. You know, death is really this dualistic program, Vinny. You know, people often, you know, if you ask them what's the opposite of life, people are generally going to say death. But it's just this opposite. You know, life has no opposites. It is a continuum, and death and rebirth really are opposites of one another. What we're experiencing at the moment is this reincarnational cycle where we keep reincarnating into this frequency zone with the consciousness veils pulled down, with no coherent memory of prior incarnations, and you know, that's largely part of this, again, this interdimensional control system that has been set up to enslave us. So the electromagnetic body is really what we are focused on, because there are many fantastic forms of healing like chiropractics or massage or acupuncture or, you know, nutritional understanding, that all of which are fantastic, that focus on bringing, you know, greater balance and harmony to the physical, emotional, mental bodies. But what
Which
has
is
been
why they believe that the body's made out of electromagnetic frequencies and stuff like that, whereas the other people who are part of the what's it, pathology, right? That form of medicine believe the body's all chemicals and clockwork, like a machine, you know. And that's the two different fields of thought on medicine and the human body and what we are. One of them is very limited, and it says if you don't kill the patient, then whatever you're giving them is safe.
Injecting mercury and formaldehyde into your body, fantastic safe practice for many.
Yeah, it's like, bro, have you never heard of a soft kill bioweapon? Like, you know, I mean, everybody knows about soft kill bioweapons.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, that's kiddie stuff, mate.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you know, the world's topsy-turvy, Vinny, as you're well aware. Everything's back to front, and yeah, it's all inside out, topsy-turvy. So
just go with, you know, like a bad trip.
It is a bad trip. It really is, like waking up to one each and every day on this planet.
Yeah, it's like 11 hours on a plane from Los Angeles to New Zealand. You want to talk about a bad trip, but oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that living in Australia. I think we got a couple of extra hours that we've got to travel on that flight. So, yeah, the template's really identifying the electromagnetic body, and that's what we're focused on resurrecting and reestablishing, is this circuitry system. So there are several components to each of these ceremonies, and I mentioned before that we have the first couple of ceremonies have been translated onto film. So prior to the last few years, the only way that people could experience these ceremonies was via the workshop model, which is a profound process, but it's slow and can only reach, you know, a few people at a time. There's only several ambassadors like myself out there that are facilitating these ceremonies. And what we've realized is that the bigger picture is about numbers. It's about critical mass of people who are resurrecting the circuitry, sustaining a holistic state of consciousness, changing their neurochemistry. So it all has to be embedded into film and made freely accessible to everybody, because, you know, for many people out there on the planet, you know, we live in a Western society, Vinny, where we have a lot of luxuries that are just not afforded to most people on the planet, and they don't have the luxuries of the freedoms of time and finances and whatnot to come and experience a workshop environment, but they can experience these ceremonies via film. So we've relied heavily on donations and running endless workshops, you know, to make these ceremonies accessible. They are time and money consuming to embed them into film, but they are profound. And when you watch them, the first half of each film is introduction about, you know, the themes that we've been talking about the whole picture of what the template is presenting, and then the second half of it is the actual ceremony itself. And by watching that film, you are not simply watching a beautiful animated piece of film. You are actually experiencing an alchemically coded ceremony embedded into film, which will have permanent measurable change on your electromagnetic body, which will permanently reconnect the first of these circuits and begin this process of deprogramming your consciousness and expanding your consciousness, changing the neurochemistry that we've been talking about. So, yeah, fortunately, the first two of those are accessible and available on the template YouTube channel. So there are several components to each of these alchemically coded ceremonies. One of them is your consciousness, you know, your choice to go through this process of transition. The other is the presence of the sacred geometry. And then there are spoken linguistic codes, which are in frequency resonance with each of the circuits, that awaken memory within the cerebral cortex of the human being prior to our genetic modification, that memory of who we really are as fractal holographic focal points within the unified field. So, you know, I mentioned sacred geometry is a beautiful piece, one of the pieces that we use in the ceremonies here. This one's known as the heart star. It's a stellated cube octahedron, or what we call the iconic Terra Prana star. It's in frequency resonance with the heart chakra, and when combined with its linguistic code at the ceremony, it awakens the heart chakra.
And we'll talk more about this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind that American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show are both listener-supported. So if you do like this kind of programming being given to people for free, not necessarily just you, because you're part of a wider thing here, if you like the opportunity for people to express their views, that kind of thing, go to American Freedom Radio and donate today. And if you like my particular brand of it, go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show and sign up for a regular monthly or weekly donation there. We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome to the world's meeting place.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of a hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the war in the Persian Gulf. You know my favorite part of that war? It's the first war we ever had that was on every channel plus cable. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. And you know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't build a decent car. Got no steel industry left. Can't educate our young people. Can't get health care to our old people. And you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, my mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them. I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio and service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Reason you stumbled across the second hour of the Vinny Eastwood show. I hope you don't take it too seriously, man. Vinny certainly doesn't. So sit back, enjoy the complimentary GMO marijuana, and fluoridate the cerveza, and embrace the probability of your imminent death. Now here's your host, the Chicano from the North Island, Vinny Eastwood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, bro. All right. It's on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 2 days a week at this current point in time because, matey potatey, I found that interviewing people who've gone through really bad traumas and stuff like that, and believe me, everybody who's an activist of any note has been through a couple of these, can be exhausting for your soul. All right, and anybody who has done counseling before or looked after people with severe disabilities knows exactly what I'm talking about, okay? It drains you. You need time to recuperate sometimes. Sometimes you need to say, hey, look at this. I've got Facebook messages all the time. I've got YouTube comments all the time, most of which are really nasty and hurtful. Maybe you could just turn it off on occasion and recuperate from that. Everybody go, oh, but you're not paying attention to us anymore. Well, you ain't paying me to pay attention to you, so shh, just shh, all right? I can't afford to pay attention. Now, my very special guest is Carlos Kookaburra from, what was it, the template. Now, yes. Bro, let's think about this. If you're talking about like a template, not I like to think about templates just in general, right? I've got a template for how I edit videos. I've got a template for how I edit audio. I've got a template for how I frame my blog posts and things like that. I've got templates for damn near everything that I do in my life, from taking a piss to rolling a joint. All right, these things are an exquisite, vivid detail for me because there's a methodology behind them. And I found the one thing about the strange universe is it's difficult to interpret what its intentions are and your part to play in it, kind of thing, especially ahead of time or plan for it. It just sort of happens. It's about listening and thinking on your feet to a large degree, I've found, when it comes to making a template or an analysis for anything that you do in your life. And you're dealing with something that's literally outside the spectrum.
Yeah, well, you know, partly the reason why this body of work is called the template is because it's identifying that sacred geometry is the template for human design. It is it's the blueprint for our physical structure. It's the light body matrix. It's the archetype. A definition of archetype means primal pattern. And so it's actually the archetype of all archetypes. When we're dealing with sacred geometry, we're dealing with holography. You know, that term holographics means a whole image. So in a hologram, you can take any part of the whole and reproduce the entire image, because the whole is held in every part and the part within the whole. So as we start to commune with sacred geometry, which is what's happening in the template ceremonies, is that it starts to resurrect our consciousness to see the holistic, holographic, symbiotic nature of life. And when we're looking at information, or sorry, looking at geometry, that word information, just think about that word for a moment as you look at this, Vinny. Information. That's what this is. It's information. It's informing you beyond the belief systems or the disbelief systems of your conscious mind. It doesn't care about the color of your skin. It doesn't care about your sexuality, your, you know, religious indoctrination. It just delivers that direct information to the cerebral cortex and awakens the higher functioning of the brain and overrides the dominance of the reptilian brain in this constant state of fight or flight that we are held in through endless terrorist concerns and, you know, financial enslavement and everything that is, you know, is programming us.
In terms of that direct programming, I had a guest on the show not too long ago called Paul Waddell from Safe Space in New Zealand. And he comes in and he tests your homes, and he's got all these devices and things like that. And again, waves, man, these things are bad. They're really bad. And only about 3% of people can feel wireless internet radiation and stuff like that, and it kills them, you know. It's really horrible. And I think that what's happening is we're getting bathed in this deliberately for another reason, other than it's just so much easier than having a sea full of cables like I've got on my desk.
For sure. You know, that's how it's sold to us, is that it's, you know, all this technology is convenient, you know, but the technology is just taking us further and further away from our biology and from our beingness, you know. And undoubtedly things like smart meters and the cell phone towers and everything, you know, the military have been using this form of frequency modulation to affect human consciousness and emotional states and whatnot for a long time. So it's a weaponization of technology that's, again, another form of keeping us dumbed down and enslaved. But ultimately, you know, all of these frequencies that are emanating from the sun are, you know, what we want to be able to assimilate and absorb. And again, the template for human design, our soul, is this counter-resonant field for the codes of creation emanating from the portal of our sun. So the sacred geometry it is, again, it's a key component in these ceremonies. So when you're communing with geometry, you're essentially, again, looking at the shape of sound, the shape of frequency. And this study that I mentioned before, cymatics, is a very good way of visually acknowledging and seeing how sound structures form. You can put frequency through various mediums such as oils or sand on metal plates, and you'll see that medium begin to vibrate around and form this geometric mandala, a standing wave. And so you can look at that, and then you change the frequency, heighten the vibration, and it dances around and forms another geometric mandala.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I woke up one morning thinking of that exact effect, couldn't remember what the effect was called, and I went to my Facebook list, and here's a person wanting to add me as a friend, and I went to his page just to check him out, and he had picked a video exactly about that topic right there as the first thing I did when I woke up. Quite interesting, eh? And we got to talking about it and thought about what if that could be a new component in music festivals, for instance, you have a freestanding. So for some way, you've got to get the you've got to get the sand to be magnetic. Maybe use iron sand, and you've got to have the panel vertical so that you can put a glass panel in front of a giant speaker stand at a massive festival, and then whenever the music gets played through it, it'll form into geometric shapes for all the crowd to see. Wouldn't that be something?
I can see you at Burning Man with that right now, Vinny.
The festival scene
is where we see lots of sacred geometry. It's got right, like the t-shirt that I'm wearing at the moment, you know, one of my favorite visionary artists, Samuel Ferrand, created this image. And you see this type of thing within the festival scene, these visionary artists.
So are you saying that Ferrand made that for you?
No, he made it as one of his artworks, but I love it. You know, I wear it because, you know, wearing it through artwork or jewelry or having it in your field, it is actually temporarily vibrating and resonating these circuits within the body. And, you know, I've seen over the last, 20 years or so of being involved with sacred geometry, this, massive influx of awareness of the profundity of sacred geometry. And so people are putting it on their clothes and making jewelry and things out of them and putting them in art installations and things at festivals. Because inherently we know that there's some, profundity to it. So, when we do the muscle testing, you know, if I tested you with this specific piece of geometry, we could show that there would be a temporary strengthening just by your consciousness being exposed to the frequency, the vibration of that structure. What the ceremonies do is that they permanently recalibrate that frequency and that circuit within your light body. It's a fractal, you know, the light body is this series of nested geometric fields. So each one of them being a fractal of a larger construct, a multidimensional, interdimensional construct that is the template for your human matrix. So we use it to permanently recalibrate those circuits. You mentioned before that, you know, only a few people are sensitive to the electromagnetic fields, the electromagnetic pollution from some of the technology, the Wi-Fi technology that we have these days. And, you know, part of that is because people are just so dissociated from their physical bodies through all sorts of trauma, Vin, you know, like, and there are many, as I mentioned, different forms of therapy that try to help people to resolve the trauma. When we track that trauma back, you know, through our ancestry, what we're going to get to is this genetic modification, which is equivalent, really, it's infathomable, really, the trauma there. It's like saying, okay, this race of humans, you know, is less that, you know, which is what you see with all religions, because there's these race wars and whatnot that are created because people believe that their God is the supreme God and their race is the supreme race. But it's equivalent to saying, okay, let's take this whole race and give them a frontal lobotomy, you know, put a sharp instrument underneath their eyelids and mess up their frontal lobes of their brain. That's what the genetic modification has done. It's created huge trauma, and we see this mirrored back to us in the matrix environment that we are experiencing through endless themes of betrayal and abandonment within human relationships. Now, that's stemming from cosmic abandonment, from a disconnection from this cosmic continuum. Again, when we look at the internal modification, that's what we're seeing mirrored back to us through the endless forms of manipulation. We are co-creating the problem currently. There are several billion people on the planet that are resonant with this fear-based dualistic paradigm, the mutant matrix, that are generating that from the fulcrum point or the fountainhead of a mutated genetic spacesuit and are creating the level of the problem. So what we need to do is collectively co-cure it. You had something like that?
I had an analogy, actually, because they found out, you know how a lot of people are afraid of GMO crops and everything like that, blowing downwind and contaminating everybody else's crops. Well, that does happen. However, what they found is over time, because those genetically modified crops need specific fertilizers, specific pesticides and herbicides to be sprayed on them, et cetera, to keep them safe and make sure that they grow, they found that when those genetically modified strains go out into the world, after only a few generations, they revert back to the natural form. So let's take the human thing as you're saying, we've been modified. This is the way of the human organism of reverting back to its natural form, you reckon, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very good analogy, Vin, you know, because the reason that we deal with sacred geometry is because the original human template prior to the genetic modification still is embedded within every cell of our being. And what we're doing with the ceremonies is that we are creating a mirror waveform of that original creation code to resurrect the template. So yes, if we were left to our devices just to go about, our lives, we would actually return to this immortal state that we were in prior to the Anunnaki modifying us and cloning us and enslaving us. Now, what they've had to do is use endless forms of consciousness manipulation to keep us dumbed down. David Icke uses the analogy that, you know, you have to if you get a basketball and you push it underwater, you know, that you have to hold it down there, because if you let it go, it's going to naturally rise to its natural place of equilibrium.
I tried to come up with a similar analogy that if it's a spring, you can hold that spring down, but it's got tension on the spring, so you've got to keep holding it down. And I said that to Cliff High from halfpasthuman.com, and he says, no, Vinny, don't use a mechanical example. Don't use an inanimate object. Use an organic example. Humanity's potential in our consciousness is more like a water spring that comes up out of the ground. Now, if you start putting pressure on that water spring, what happens? Not only does some of the water still spurt up past that pressure that you can't keep, but also it starts burrowing into the rock and starting to shoot out and create other reservoirs and outlets that are completely unpredictable by the person trying to suppress the spring, right? Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that's a way better analogy.
Mm, yeah. So, you know, all of the forms of control, you know, they're having to bombard us on every level because there is a massive awakening going on. You know, you look at even since 9/11 over the last 15 years, you know, it was actually much harder prior to 9/11 for people to see the level of the problem and the conspiracy. After that event, although many people initially went into massive denial and were taking, you know, massive amounts of antidepressants to keep them dumbed down and in denial, a lot of people began to wake up and realize that, you know, we're being fed bullshit. So in some ways, the more that, you know, this chaos goes on, the more it's kind of helping people to see through the manipulation. But they're bombarding us on every level to keep us dumbed down, because they don't want this waking up collectively to happen. So I thought, you know, I've covered quite a lot of the topics that I was hoping to cover, and I thought maybe I could give a little bit of an introduction into what these first couple of ceremonies on the films are about, and how, you know, for people that that view them, what changes that they will go through. Do you have any other questions about anything that I've covered so far, Vin?
If I do, I'll let you know.
Okay, cool. So the first ceremony that we released about 4.5 years ago now, I guess, was called The Ceremony of Original Innocence. The title of that ceremony being vastly opposed to the concept of original sin that the religions perpetuate, this idea, you know, that humans are to blame for everything because of some awful offense that we've, an ancestral offense that we've committed in a time out of memory against some egomaniacal, psychopathic god that, you know,
exactly.
commands our obedience.
Exactly. It's more like original innocence, but inevitable sin, you know.
Well, it's the programming that we go through, you know, these programs of shame and guilt and, you know, we're getting programmed from, you know, the point of conception, really. And so what it does is that it puts people in a state of victim consciousness. And what these ceremonies do is that they shift us from a state of victim consciousness to a state of co-creatorship, where you realize that, you know, we are co-creating this paradigm. And so the ceremony is all about forgiveness. Forgiveness being the bedrock of all self-realization and transformation. Now, the ceremonies are a process of embodiment. So you're embodying this principle. It's not an intellectual choice to condemn or condone certain situations, that it becomes a way of being. It becomes who you are. And it comes about with deeper understanding, because through understanding, if you understand, you know, the events that have occurred in somebody's life, then you'll understand why they are, and all behavior starts to make perfect sense. You know, it's easy to get bogged down in judgment and denial when you look at a certain person, you know, committing some awful offense and really judge that. But if you knew what had happened in their childhood, if you knew what was going on for their parents during, you know, the point of conception and gestation and birth and the social indoctrination, the religious programming that they had undergone.
If you're raised in a satanic cult that has more money than God and ritualistically program you, torture you, brainwash you, and tell you that you're also better than everybody else and that the bulk of humanity is slave scum and that you're going to be president someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, the trauma-based mind control, you know, there's a lot of great researchers out there that are exposing these CIA, MKUltra, Monarch programs and whatnot. And that's fantastic to research that, but we're all experiencing trauma-based mind control, you know, and it's a long history and ancestry that we are suffering.
The thing that I wanted to mention just before is I almost forgot is there was this person I interviewed, Janice Bocella, and she said that we start our trauma from birth, because just the general birthing in a hospital kind of thing. First of all, birthing is very traumatic in and of itself. And what used to happen is that the child would come out of the mother and then be held very close to her skin, right? That kind of skin on skin contact, because you've both just been through something really traumatic. So what happens instead is that when you come out, you're bathed in really blinding surgical lighting equipment. And also there's a dude in a mask who doesn't look human. You can't see any facial features, so he looks kind of like an alien or something scary, right? And then they snatch you away from your mother and they cut your umbilical cord, and then they wrap you really tightly in a artificial blanket, and then they give it to your mother eventually, right? After you've been cleaned off and had all those, it's just an unnatural process and a scary, traumatic process that you come through in the future. And if your family are Orthodox Jewish as well, they will also eventually cut off your foreskin, and the person doing that procedure will then put it in his mouth. That's kind of nasty. It's horrific stuff that we go through day one. That's day one, right?
That's amazing. Yeah. I saw the interview that you did with Janice. I know Janice. She does fantastic work. She's also been through all of the template ceremonies, so she has an understanding of this body of work as well. And she does, you know, profound work in exposing that level of trauma that we're experiencing again from day one. And in fact, it begins before that, you know, because, you know, the first ceremony, Vince, starts with the line saying that before the first breath and before the first breath is the first choice, you know, and that's the choice to incarnate that you have, before the first breath, before the first heartbeat is the first choice. And, you've chosen your parents. You have incarnated on these timelines, and the relationship that we have with mother and father, you know, what was happening for our parents at that time of conception and gestation and the actual birthing experience, and, you know, being jabbed with all the needles and having your genitals mutilated, and then the first few years of social indoctrination. You know, it's amazing that we aren't more messed up than we are, really. It's amazing
that anybody wakes up at all.
Yeah. So, but it all begins with mother and father and forgiveness of our relationships with them. So when people experience this ceremony, even just the first one, it's going to change your relationship with yourself and with everybody, because forgiveness is ultimately all about yourself. It's a tool for changing your perceptions about there being a lack of love. Now, our parents are the primary caretakers, and they are the first divided aspects of God and Goddess that we experience. And, you know, when we come out, as Janice points out of the mother's womb, we've been in this environment, we come out in this hypersensitive state, and you know, everything that occurs to us, you know, can be very traumatic. And so yeah, it'd be great if we were treated, you know, in a very respectful, loving way, greeted into this world with loving arms and looked into our eyes and with the sensitivity that is needed. Unfortunately, our parents have been traumatized, you know, and oftentimes, you know, many men are just like, oh, well, you know, just circumcise them because that's what was done to me, without actually addressing and looking at the trauma that has caused them, or the trauma that, you know, giving children vaccinations and whatnot potentially will cause them as well. So we come out in this hypersensitive state and we're traumatized, and it makes us dissociate from our bodies. And so the first ceremony addresses this. It addresses it with the relationship of mother and father. And, you know, it can seemingly be a very simple process when you're looking at this spinning geometry and saying these codes, you know, to my mother, I forgive all that was not love. But ceremony, what it does is it takes us into the experiential realm, and you are embodying these principles on very deep core levels of yourself, and simultaneously you are recalibrating, reconnecting this electromagnetic circuitry, which is embracing you back into the cosmic embrace. And so it brings things to resolution, the wounds of abandonment and betrayal that we have all experienced. This ceremony actually began, Juliet was introduced to it before she had any idea of the template or ceremony and whatnot. She had an experience with a healer in Hawaii who made her look into a mirror and go through this process of forgiveness with her mother and father. And she realized that at that time in her life, she was still holding so much anger in her field, and that things like her mother considering abortion while she was in the womb had deeply impacted her and had affected choices that she'd made as a teenager, you know, drug abuse and suicidal tendencies and things. Now, if those things are left unresolved, that's the type of behavior that they manifest into. So forgiveness brings that to resolution. So it begins with mother and father, and then it extends out into the greater brotherhood and sisterhood of humanity. The first part of that ceremony, you know, traditionally in a workshop environment, we will use mirrors, and the mirror holds the reflective quality of the element of water. It's the first element that we experience in the watery environment of the womb. And as we look into our eyes, we are reconnecting circuits which are located at the chest, at an area known as the xiphoid process, where the ribs connect at the base of the sternum, an area about an inch and a half up at the heart alarm or the central sexual circuit, and then one at the thymus gland. Now, when these circuits are reconnected, they are re-stimulating and reanimating the thymus gland. Now, your thymus gland produces T cells, and those T cells are intelligent molecules that eavesdrop on the internal subconscious life or death wish. And just like the genie in the bottle, they grant you that wish. So if you're, you know, if you have these deep programs, of abandonment running within your body, then you're going to have an immune response, that is according with that. So by clearing that, it's emancipating the immune system and bringing about, greater degrees of health. Second part.
Other people's thymus might produce T cells, but I put coffee in my thymus.
I've got a nice green tea going in. So the second part of that ceremony, the ceremony of original innocence, connects four circuits that are located at the throat, the third eye, the crown, and the auric field. And they all feed into the pineal gland. Now, your pineal gland, as I mentioned before, often referred to as the third eye, it, as is the rest of the endocrine system, it is in complete atrophy. The pineal gland in its original state was the size of an eye, and it's made of the same light receptive cells as the retinic cells of the eyes. It's a system of lenses and which absorbs, translates, and redistributes light into our nervous system. Again, it's responsible for a lot of chemistry produced in the body. And one of those chemicals, as I mentioned before, is the psychedelic compound DMT, dimethyltryptamine. So it's currently the size of a shriveled out pea or a grain of rice. It's in complete atrophy, and it's not functioning in the way that it was originally designed to do. Originally, we were able to translate any time or dimensional level through that third eye.
Yeah, well, originally we didn't have artificially fluoridated water supplies that calcify the pineal gland. You know, it just, it's kind of like that sort of, I see the connection to the conspiracies because everything else is connected, like and you get people who, now there's a big debate going on about fluoride in New Zealand, right? Like the district health boards, I love the irony here. They've declared that fluoride is not a medicine. And now they've also trying to declare that local city councils won't be able to decide on whether or not they put fluoride in the water. The district health boards will do it for you instead, will decide that something that's not a medicine gets forced into your body. You know, I love that. Congratulations on your calcification.
It's crazy. We have the same problem over here in Australia, you know, where they send you all the propaganda and whatnot and try to convince you, try to get your sovereign choice to say, oh, yeah, this is a great idea because all these authority figures are telling me that. But at the end of the day, they can put it in there regardless, you know, of what the local council
says. You can't say that. You can't say that. Authority figures say otherwise.
What I was thinking about is the double slit experiment, right? Just brief explanation for the audience. They had two metal slits and they had two little guns that shoot electro particles through it, right? And they found out that when they weren't watching the particles being shot through these two slits, the little particles would like hit a board behind it in a little things as if they'd been shot through a hole. But when they found that when they did observe it, it turned into a wave pattern instead on the shock board behind it. What you're observing and what you're thinking actually change matter to a very, very minor degree, right? It's right there. Your thoughts affect stuff around you in an almost imperceivable way. So if that is true, if your thoughts can affect matter, that means that what you're thinking while you're pregnant or even around somebody's pregnant might affect the fetus, right? In a very, very small, imperceptible way. So if the baby is around starvation for example, as they found this in Poland during the Warsaw ghettos when there wasn't much food around, a lot of the babies that were born had very, very low calorie needs. They were incredibly skinny and they didn't need much food to survive because while they were in the womb, while the mother was starving, their body was being programmed to the environment that the mother was living in. Fast forward to today, we're surrounded by fast-acting 3G and 4G electromagnetic wireless radiation, more or less 24/7. You've got negativity and violence and anger and aggression and sexual explicitity on the television 24/7. You've got trauma-based mind control that you basically enter into from birth and then go into institutions and things like that. And you hate your job and you hate your education and you hate school and you don't get accepted by your family and your own creativity gets stifled as you get paid by the hour to suppress your own fulfillment of your destiny, right? So it doesn't matter at what point you're doing anything if you're a fetus in gestation, man, because it's outside of your control. And to a large degree, it's almost outside of everybody's control, right? Like if you're electrosensitive, what can you do? What can you do? Where can you go? Can you go to a university? No, you can't. There's too much wireless going on there. Can you get a job anywhere? No, you can't. And can you go out to the rural areas or something like that? In New Zealand, we've got the rural Wi-Fi initiative that's going to connect all the rural farmers. So no, you can't. Where is it going to be heading, right? So the whole prison planet idea, I think, is not being done with bars of steel or iron or manacles around the wrists. It's being done with wavelengths that are putting shackles around our minds and our souls.
Yeah, it's frequency modulation. You know, you're talking about modern day forms of that, and you know, we could talk about harp and whatnot, but you're also touching on the concept of epigenetics, you know, your environment affecting your perception and your consciousness, and the topic of morphogenetic fields. So I mentioned a topic earlier. You know, usually we introduce this particular topic, you know, several days into a workshop as people gradually understand and can come to, you know, some comprehension of the other themes that we're talking about. But there are researchers, obviously the likes of David Icke, who are talking about this concept as well. And one of the main forms of frequency modulation on this planet is the Moon VIN. It's an artificial satellite that has been introduced into orbit around planet Earth to disturb the frequencies that are emanating from the sun. You know, there's this relationship between the electric seed codes that are endlessly emanating from the portal of our sun that combine with Earth's magnetic fields to crystallize consciousness into form and create the countless forms of life that we have on this planet. So it's you know, we refer to it as the wedding of spirit and matter, the courtship of creation between electricity and magnetism. Again, we're dealing with physics. The higher physics of creation, known as, again, electricity, magnetism, masculine, feminine, how they are expressed geometrically is in these forms known as Platonic and Archimedean geometries. Well, when you introduce a foreign body into Earth's biosphere, the moon, it's that magnetic field is constantly oscillating and disturbing the relationship of the sun's transmissions with the Earth, and our abilities as conduits, or what we would refer to as world bridges, the ability to translate that code through the portals of our own bodies. So the frequency modulation is where it's all at. It's all about inhibiting our ability to assimilate light. And what we see today is chemtrails and smart meters and electromagnetic disturbances to our consciousness are just another form of making it harder and harder for us to access consciousness.
Did you know that if you wanted to send an electrical signal like a moving image or something like that through space, the two compounds that would need to be in the air – that would make it much, much easier. Above all the other compounds imaginable are aluminium and barium. And I was just like, whoa, that's an interesting and incredibly fucking scary factoid, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. So maybe I'll just finish explaining the circuits in the first ceremony. So we were looking at the air circuits that feed into the pineal gland. During this part of the ceremony, we actually move on to forgiving the beings that have used endless forms of mind control to embed fear into human consciousness. And it's through that fear, as we know, that you can control and conquer a race, keep them divided. So they're using endless forms of fear. But when we get into this whole topic of the interdimensional extraterrestrial manipulation of consciousness, it's easy for people actually to be thrown into that victim consciousness. And sometimes when you do the research and you go deep down the rabbit hole, some people are often left feeling more depressed and disempowered than they were in the first place when they were still in massive denial. However, again, this is a solutions-based model. Basically, we have taken on the trauma of the Anunnaki. Most people try to explain human behavior in terms of just humanity, and much of it just is not been. You know, the psychopathic behavior that we see from the warlords on this planet, those in power, is stemming from the gods. When you research the behavior of the gods in these written texts of religions, you're not seeing an all-loving, omnipotent benefactor. You're actually seeing all the characteristics of a psychopathic warlord. And so it is through religion that people have embodied these archetypes. And we have been trained over, you know, generations to be warriors, pawns in the wars and games of the gods. And that has created, you know, the trauma that you're aware of through creating mind control that the military use has dissociated us further from our bodies and empathy. A race that lacks empathy is going to commit these atrocities. So we need to come back to a state where we're feeling sentient beings.
Yeah, it's one of the career paths that psychopaths actually like to choose, in fact, is religion.
Yes.
It's business as well, and media, entertainment, law, yes, medicine. What do all these things have in common? They're the core pillars by which the understanding of reality is interpreted for society.
Wherever you see hierarchy, Vinny, is the Anunnaki mind at work. And our society, the Matrix, it rewards that type of behavior, you know, because where you will find psychopaths who are empathy deficient is in these roles where they thrive because they have power over other people. And yes, when you look into the shadows of the church, you're going to find deep occult pedophile rituals, and it's really nasty business.
This guy over here is really good at lying and subjugating people. I think we could give him a job, Gerald.
Yeah, they're rewarded. They're rewarded for it, you know, but they love hierarchy. And the original human, you know, that remembers somewhere in the depths of our mind, it's connection to source, you know, it doesn't do hierarchy. It does symbiosis and interconnectedness. But that's stemming from the gods and the religions that the gods have established, the caste systems that they have established throughout those religions. So second part of this ceremony, again, we're forgiving these beings because we've actually taken on their trauma to help heal them. We are sharing their mind. In the work of Carlos Castaneda, you know, his mentor Don Juan Matus described it as the predator's mind. He described that there was a predator that had came from the depth of the cosmos and taken over the rule of the lives of humanity and turned us into these complacent, compliant pieces of meat. And, you know, we were once these magical beings. So
I've got a question for you, though, in terms of Carlos Castaneda. There was another guy who actually studied with Don Juan as well, who's going to write the teachings of Don Juan, but he never got around to it. His name was Carlos Procrastinator.
I haven't heard that one before. I like it though.
Yeah. Well, you see, I'm an interventional alchemical Archimedean comedian because humor's human, isn't it? You know? And let's get on with it and let's frickin' rock up the hierarchy.
Archimedean comedian. I haven't heard that one either too. I'll use it. So, yeah, we're sharing their mind, and really that's out of a deeply empathic state that the original human has decided to take on the sickness and suffering of another race that is deeply lost. And we knew that there would come a time that we would awaken as a planetary civilization, and that we would bring light back into the matrix onto this planet, and that that would have a knock-on effect for these beings. So during this part of the ceremony, we are forgiving the dark power holders who've used these endless forms of fear, and we're awakening the pineal gland, the third eye. Traditionally, we'd use a mirror. This ceremony, it's resonant with the element of air. You'll see the geometry on the ceremony DVD that is in frequency resonance, known as the octahedron, or what we call the pranosphere. So it awakens the third eye, and it takes us into the ancient libraries embedded within our genetic code. So that's the air circuit partly. The earth circuit is located at the back of the head, runs through the hypothalamus pituitary pineal complex in the brain, reattunes our personal electromagnetic field to the frequencies, pulsations and rhythms of the earth, reattunes us to natural free energy. And it begins to override addiction, in all its forms. You know, the deepest form of addiction, Vin, is our identity, you know, and most people are so locked into that identity that to bring that into question, to question your identity, to question your religion, to question the indoctrination that you have built that identity upon, is where we experience that, what we talked about before, the grief and the disillusionment that we experience as we awaken. So we have to bring into question our identity and how we have adapted to this mutant paradigm that we're in, and taken on that identity. We're constantly looking for stuff outside of ourselves to give us a sense of feeling whole or interconnected. And most people, you know, you don't have to get addicted to substances outside of yourself. For instance, you don't need to get addicted to nicotine or cocaine, you know, taking in a foreign chemistry, because you get addicted to your own neurochemistry. It's why drama within relationships, or watching drama on TV or pornography or these types of things, are so addictive, because people, you know, create a spike in their dopamine levels, and then once that rapidly drops off, they need to get another hit of it. You know, gambling, for instance. But
it manipulates your brain chemistry at sort of like a base level, even with visual stimuli. And that's the interesting thing also about those geometric patterns as well, is because every shape emits a frequency, just like every thought emits a frequency that changes things. And that's why subliminal advertising is actually illegal. Like, people don't know that there's actually a law that makes it illegal to subliminally advertise to people, because it's so damned effective.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't stop them using it, does it?
It's no, all sex. It doesn't, because it's subliminal. Brilliant. You know, what we'll do is I love the giving it here. Okay, we're going to pass a law against subliminal advertising that we won't tell people that there's a law there, and they won't notice that there's subliminal advertising, even when we break the law. It's brilliant.
Yeah, crazy. So this earth circuit is reattuning us to the planet, and as a result, it starts to deprogram the addictive patterns of identification that we have. And it's enough just to realize that we and the earth are one, you know, that our bodies are made of the same alchemical components of the earth. So That's the earth circuit. There's a circuit that's connected via the element of fire that's reconnected at the perineum between your anus and your genitals. When you watch the DVD, like traditionally in the workshop environment, we would actually use the physical presence of each of these alchemical elements of earth, water, wind, fire, and ether. But each of them has a geometry that is associated with them. So you'll see images of that specific element, but really it's the frequency of the shape of the geometry that's recalibrating these circuits. The fire circuit is the circuit that confronts the death program within the human body and psyche at the electromagnetic level. Again, we could talk about the concept of immortality, physical immortality, until the cows come home, and probably all it's going to do is stimulate that program for people, because your mind will jump in and go, oh, that's bullshit, everybody dies, and you know, it's the most natural thing there is. But it's actually very unnatural, and just because everybody is doing it doesn't make it natural or right. So again, we discussed.
There aren't really, are there any other organisms on Earth that are immortal? You know, some cancer. dolphin that live forever. Well, cancer's got its own mortality built in, because cancer can grow in an infinite growth cycle so long as it doesn't kill the host. The problem is, unless the host kills the cancer will kill the host.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon with cancer, though, that, you know, those cells are basically immortal compared to the other cells in the body. But, you know, this concept of...
That could just hit me with a very important realization. Mm-hmm. What if the politicians, the scumbags and the psychopaths and everything like that are merely the human representation of cancer cells for the human race, all right? They're based on infinite growth, and they kill everything in their path. They throw everything out of balance, and they're only limited by the lifespan of whether or not the people that they're subjugating decide to hang them in public squares and spit on the hanging corpse of them and their mistress, as happened to Mussolini.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of analogies that you could make to mirror the modification of human design and how at the macro level that is manifesting. Again, it's collective. One of the reasons why films such as The Secret, with these half-truths, half, you know, watered-down metaphysical principles and whatnot, became so popular in recent years, is because there is an element of truth to them, is that we're not simply creating our own reality, and simply thinking positive thoughts and doing affirmations and trying to make this paradigm work for you personally isn't going to do that, you know, but we do collectively co-create the paradigm, and that's why we can collectively co-cure it. Again, when you realize that we're creating from a modified genetic design, and this fear-based dualistic paradigm, we're collectively co-creating the level of the problem. So it's mirrored back to us endlessly in all the level of the problem that we see.
Mm. So I do love that kind of that very, very nice sounding, but sort of false belief that perception is reality. And somebody was arguing with me this one time, and I go, so what about the other 7 billion people's perception? Are you saying that your one overrides all of them, so it's your perception is reality? Doesn't that seem a little narcissistic?
Yeah, well, not every starving African child is just waiting for their copy of The Secret so that they can manifest a better life for themselves, you know. And that's the thing. It can be very narcissistic, these new age ideas, because it lacks empathy still, you know, that when you realize that there's a lot of people suffering out there on the planet, that you have to take responsibility not just for yourself and making the paradigm work better for you. It's not working for any of us, and so we need to address the core level of the corruption. It's not just because you personally are perceiving, you know, reality in a specific way. It's being collectively, you know, co-generated through millions of people that have been biologically tampered with. So the fire circuit, this death program, it's really all forms of fear really stem back to this primal fear of death. And the religions are playing on that, as we mentioned before, that they use the fear of death to control us. These laws that have been set down as from the gods, you know, are behavioral guidelines that lock people into specific behaviors that suit their agendas. It's the carrot and the stick, the victim or the sin savior program, you know, where you get punished if you don't play by the rules and obey the laws, but you're promised this paradise, you know, only after you die if you behave yourself while you're alive. So don't, you know, step outside of the laws and the guidelines that the gods would like you to operate within. So again, because we're dealing at the level of electromagnetics, it's overriding this program of fear, the death program at the electromagnetic level. It's you're re-identifying yourself as a holographic focal point within the unified field, a point of light, and that you're interconnected to that entire unified field. And so it begins to diminish fear in all of its manifestations. And the last three circuits are located at the tip of the pubic bone, the solar plexus, and the heart. They're all connected by the element of ether that is expressed by the geometry of the dodecahedron, or what we call the solar sphere. During this part of the ceremony, you are basically embodying love, recognizing that you are a conduit of that energy. It's not something outside of you, that love really is this energetic dynamic between the two polarities of creation, of masculine and feminine, and that you are in that field, that you are being within that field of love. We got some music cueing us out of this talk at the moment, Ben.
It is, unfortunately.
Okay.
That time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening today. My guest has been Carlos Kookaburra from the templateorg.com is the website there. This is Vinny Eastwood, the interdimensional holographic alchemical Archimedean comedian expressing the humor of being human in a unified field. Together, we can rock up the hierarchy and tell the Archons to fuck off. And we'll see you again next time.
Thanks for your passion, Vin. Love you.
Cheers, bro.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom. American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
People of Dumb, you can say what you want about this country, and I love this place. I love the freedoms we used to have. I love it. I love that. You know? I love it when it didn't take catastrophe to get us to care for one another. I love the fact that we're on camera all the time from all angles. But you know what? You can say what you want about America. And I say I love this place. I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't live in any other time in history in any other place. But say what you want about America, land of the free, home of the brave. We got some dumbass people floating around this country. Yeah. And this ain't just ranting and raving. This ain't just blowing off steam. I got a little evidence to support my claim. It just seems to me
that only a really low IQ population could have taken this beautiful continent, this magnificent American landscape that we inherited. Well, actually, we stole it from the Mexicans and the Indians, but hey, it was nice when we stole it. It looked pretty good. It was pristine. Paradise. Have you seen it lately? Have you taken a good look at it lately? It's embarrassing. Only a nation of unenlightened half-wits could have taken this beautiful place and turned it into what it is today, a shopping mall. A big shopping mall. You know that? That's all you got. That's all you've got here, folks. Mile after mile of mall after mall. Many, many malls. Major malls and mini malls. They put the mini malls in between the major malls. And in between the mini malls, they put the mini marts. And in between the mini marts, you got the car lots, gas stations, muffler shops, laundromats, cheap hotels, fast food joints, strip clubs, and dirty bookstores. America the Beautiful. One big transcontinental commercial cesspool. And how do the people feel about all this? How do the people feel about living in a coast-to-coast shopping mall? Well, they think it's just dandy.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.